I'd like you to turn with me to start off with, please. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Jesus is speaking to a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and he was told about the Apostle Paul before he really was recognized as the Apostle Paul. I will show him how much he must suffer. Now, notice, for my name. Now, notice that. Suffering for the name. I'd like to entitle the sermon this morning, Suffering for the Name. Of course, the name is Jesus. The name is Jesus. Okay, now, jump back, chapter 5, verse 41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. And if you'll notice the verse before, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Well, let me make this point before we move on to another passage. The very thing they wanted to stop was the very thing they could not stop, because these people had an understanding of suffering for the name. Suffering for the name. They threatened them verbally, and they even hurt them physically to shut them up. The opposite reaction of wanting them to rejoice is what happened. They actually rejoiced. That's the kind of revelation that we need, but there are a lot of other things I want to say this morning, but certainly this is key to it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 and 45. Right from the lips of the Lord himself. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field." Now, what did it cost the man to get the field where the treasure was? Everything. Next verse. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." There was an exchange that took place. He got the fine pearl, the one of great value, but it cost him everything he had, even though he might not have had very much. It doesn't say here if this was a wealthy king or a pauper. The price was the same. Cost him everything. You know, for a beggar to give everything, obviously, it's going to be a lot different than a wealthy king. But then on the other hand, it would be the same. It would be everything to get this valuable fine pearl. Now, you might be thinking, now, wait a minute. The Bible says, does it not, that eternal life is a free gift? Yes. Also, does it not say that it is without cost, that living water? Yes. Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. Well, how does this line up then with what we see here in Matthew 13? How does it line up with what Jesus told Ananias, that Paul would have to suffer for my name, and he had much suffering for my name? Okay, now I want to answer something before I get directly to that question I just asked you. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Everybody here can quote this verse, I hope. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, the point is this. What brings us salvation? If you and I have salvation, according to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and John 3:18, we have salvation because of the name of Jesus. But, listen, there's something about that name. It doesn't just bring salvation. When you carry that name with you as a Christian, God sees you on the way. Jesus is the way. And you're headed for that gate that leads to life. But I'll tell you something else. That's not the only way God sees a person that bears that name. And that's not the only way that people obviously would view us. Because what we've seen already from Acts 5:41 and Acts chapter 9, verse 16, because of the name, suffering comes. Now listen to me. You know what our ticket to heaven is? The name of Jesus. Are you on your way to heaven? Well, if you have the ticket, the name of Jesus. Tell me, is it possible, according to Scripture, is it possible to have your ticket to heaven, the name, and not be facing the kind of trouble and suffering that the Bible clearly outlines that you must go through right now? It's absolutely impossible. If you have that name, you are going to be causing trouble in the lives and the hearts of people. Now listen to me. I've seen this in my own life, and I've seen it in the lives of so many other true Christians. You identify yourself with the name of Jesus, and when the Prince of Peace, did you hear that? I said the Prince of Peace comes into your heart, havoc and discord and strife and problems and hatred and screaming and yelling like a volcano. Boom! Now that's par for the course. Riots! The Apostle Paul would go into towns, and we read of two definite town riots. Why? He was identifying himself to that name. You know, the only name whereby a man or a woman may be saved. You sure don't want to get rid of that name. If you forfeit the name, you forfeit the ticket. But if you carry that name, what's going to happen? Suffering. I wonder if anybody that has ever witnessed to any great extent has ever heard anyone not say something like this, that they're trusting in good works for salvation. Maybe the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, things like that. I truly believe, after pondering that for a long time, I don't think it's just mere ignorance that a person would say that. I believe there are people like, I'll use her as a case in point. She clearly heard from me and others, you're going to have to come to Jesus and get saved the biblical way or you're not. She refuses to accept that idea. She likes to think that she'll go to heaven on the basis of some good things she has done. And you know why I want to answer this for your benefit? Listen, because when you're associated with that name of Jesus, there's suffering that goes on. You can't have that name and not be causing havoc. Now, you know what's innate in man that we all want? We all want a nice, peaceful environment. Nobody wants, especially a born-again Christian, nobody wants to be a troublemaker. You know, they call the disciples troublemakers in the book of Acts. Nobody wants to be a troublemaker. It's that name that causes it. You're bearing that name, and trouble will be stirred. You could have the purest motives. You could be doing just everything you can to tiptoe around and not offend anyone. But you carry that name. And because of what that name is, things are going to happen. Now listen to me. Listen, listen, listen. Many people have never come to Jesus because they know what that will mean because of that name. Other people, they come to Jesus for a little while and then the problems, because of that name, they let go of their ticket. They let go of that name because that name is hot. It's a hot potato. You play around with the hot potato, you're going to suffer, won't you? But you don't want to get let go of that hot potato. This hot potato is your ticket to heaven. It's the name of Jesus. Suffering for the name of Jesus. Nobody, nobody, none of us in here, no one is going to get to heaven. Nobody will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God who doesn't suffer for the name of Jesus. Are we saved by grace? Yes. Is it free? Yes. Is it without cost? Yes. What does it cost? Everything. I just read all those verses to you. Is it worth it? Oh, it sure is. But you don't understand. My family's ripped apart. My neighborhood's ripped apart. They don't like me on the job. I'm not respected. Well, that's par for the course. That's paying the price. I thought Jesus paid the price. He did. He did. But you got the hot potato. Your ticket. Don't want to let go of that thing. But it brings me problems. I know it. The Bible has said it dozens of times. That's par for the course. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Do you have the name of Jesus this morning? Well, whichever way you'll answer this next question the same. Do you have suffering because of that name? You can't have one without the other. I contend this morning before you that it's absolutely impossible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. I want to make a point. They were suffering for the kingdom of God. They were suffering for the kingdom of God. Let's back up. Verse 4. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Notice, we know why now that they were suffering. Verse 5 and how. Verse 4, trials and persecutions. Now look at verse 6. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. They were being troubled by people. And again, verse 5. You notice where it says, worthy of the kingdom. What showed that they actually were worthy of the kingdom? They were enduring the suffering of the name that they carried with them as a Christian. The trials, and sometimes they are ever so strange and weird. Sometimes the persecutions will be direct. Sometimes the persecutions will be indirect, but persecutions in one form or another will come. It states that this is evidence that you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Worthy of the kingdom. Worthy of the kingdom of God. You know, the FDA, they have certain standards for meat to be graded a certain way, to have a certain kind of classification on it. It has to pass certain standards that they've set up. The same can be said about metal in industry. It has to be subjected to certain stress tests. Maybe if it has so much carbon or vanadium or whatever would be in it, it would receive a certain kind of stamp, or it could be identified a certain kind of a way. Well, that's exactly what's being implied right here. To be worthy of a classification, namely the kingdom of God, we're going to have to do something even though we're really not saved by works at all. We're saved by trusting in Jesus, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, by looking to Him every inch of the way. But when you do that every inch of the way, there's going to be problems that will rain down on us, and we're going to have to endure to get in the kingdom. Suffering. You know what that implies? Pain. Right here it says trouble. Trouble! Anybody here have trouble this past week? I should ask you this. Anybody here not have trouble this past week? Trouble rains down even on the wicked. I'm not talking about that kind of trouble. Listening to me? I'm talking about the trouble that would come our way because of Jesus' name. Trouble because of His name. Oh no, I'm not getting any trouble at all around the job. Nobody knows I'm a Christian. I'm not getting any trouble around the neighborhood. I don't talk to none of my neighbors about Jesus. I'm not going to talk to anybody about Jesus in this place or that place. Don't you worry about that. I'm going to spare myself of suffering and pain and trouble. Well, in one way, you're right in that you'll spare yourself of suffering for His name. Now, but that shows something about you, does it not? Is it possible, according to the Word of God, is it possible to have the name of Jesus and not cause havoc in the family? The unsaved family members, they don't want you to pray over the food. They don't want you to stand for Jesus, and when people are doing ungodly things, telling dirty jokes, or drinking alcoholic beverages. No, thank you, that's not for me. I don't want to even be in the same room. I'm a Christian. Well, they look at you as you're strange. You're causing division. I don't like to be around this person. I don't think I'm going to come and visit anymore. Or how about a neighbor that doesn't like what you stand for? You're standing for what the Bible says and not man's traditions. I would much rather have no such neighbor. And if they're living by me, God forbid, but sometimes that happens. Let's draw the line clear. No friend of mine. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm more concerned about His friendship than pleasing anything any man would ever want me to do. I'm going to stand one day before the judgment seat, and it won't be that person that will be sitting on it. It's going to be Jesus. I have that name, and I'm going to keep it. I'm telling you, there's nothing more precious than that name. There's only one thing that can get us to heaven. You have a goal. I hope your goal is the right one, the kingdom of God. A lot of people have lesser goals. That's okay in a way, as long as you keep it way down there and you keep the primary goal way up here. That primary goal that we should have, get in that kingdom. Jesus said, enter through that gate. Make every effort to get through that gate, because many will try to enter and not be able to. Luke 13:24. Yeah, but I'll tell you what. I don't want all this trouble. I want to live in peace. All I want is peace. Is that asking too much? Yes. Yes. It's asking too much. If you want peace, if you want to please your neighbors, your family, your friends, your co-workers, and claim to be a Christian, you're asking too much. You can't do it. You show me in the Bible how you can do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Listen to me. God is a God that will test us. You know who's going to enter the kingdom? Those that are worthy. Those that pass the test. Apollos, though we don't know much about him, he was a man that was tested and approved. We read of him in Romans 16. Basically all we have in all Scripture. Greet Apollos, tested and approved. That can be stamped on everyone that enters the kingdom of God. Tested and approved. Tested and approved. Tested and approved. If you enter, you'll be approved after test. How long will the test go on? As long as you breathe. Maybe after I reach 80, they'll stop. No, they won't. 90? No. Never. But you know, one day the sufferings will be over for us that are suffering now. We're going to be in the kingdom. On the other hand, those that don't want to suffer, they don't want to suffer now. I'm thinking of the passage in Matthew chapter 24, the tail end of it, where the servant of the Lord all of a sudden changed his attitude and began to beat his own servants and to drink and to eat with drunkards. Well, Jesus said that he would assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus believed there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you see, you're going to suffer either now or in eternity. I'd much rather suffer right now. I'd rather carry that hot potato and suffer the pain that goes with that hot potato right now. Everybody that's a Christian that has been tested and approved has suffered like that and will, because the prince of darkness, the devil, doesn't like what we stand for. He's alive and he's prowling around throughout the earth. Listen to me. Don't you be set back by somebody's bad example. Somebody that professed to know the Lord, maybe did in the past, slipped away, did something. You keep your eyes on the Lord. You think about the kingdom of God. You think about judgment day. Listen to this. Listen to this. What's this life all about? I ask myself this question all the time. It keeps coming right back to me in various ways in Scripture. What's this life all about? What's this life all about? We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we've become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. The scum of the earth. I've had people look at me for no reason other than what I stand for scripturally as the scum of the earth. You ever have that happen to you? I've had people look at me as the scum of the earth for no reason other than for what I stand for. Is that unusual? No. That blesses me to see this is par for the course. The thing that scares me, most people that would watch TV, they get a conception of Christianity very distorted from what the Scriptures would say. The message I'm preaching this morning would fly square in the face of somebody that has a distorted view of Christianity. Their distorted view of Christianity, which perhaps has come their way because of what they see on TV. Christianity is a means whereby we can really have it comfortable and all this ease and prosperity and different things like that. While the Bible gives an altogether different kind of view of what it means to walk with Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1 verse 29. When I hear these things on TV, they don't only grieve me, they scare me for your sake. I think about you and I think of other people. And I wonder how many people are being slowly deluded about why we are here and what God really wants from us. And what is par for the course? Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him but also to suffer for him. Okay, now I want you to see this one. This is going to be a little changing pivotal point in my sermon this morning. Romans chapter 8. Verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. What's this thing about glory? What's that mean anyhow? I think it's very clearly brought out in chapter 9, verse 23. Jump over one chapter. Chapter 9, verse 23. What if He did this to make the riches of His glory known to the objects of His mercy, whom He prepared in advance for glory? See, right here, heaven is described as glory. See that? We share in His sufferings, Romans 8, 17. In order that we may also share in His glory. What do you have to do to get that pearl of great value? What do you have to do to get that field where the treasure is in Matthew chapter 13? What's it going to cost you? Everything. I mean, it might cost me peace in my family. It might cost me peace in my neighborhood. It might cost me peace on the job. It might cost me my popularity. It might cost me my friends. Absolutely. And if you're not willing to pay, you're not worthy of the kingdom. I want to say that again. If you're not willing to pay that price, you are not worthy of the kingdom. But you don't understand. I don't want to be lonely. Oh, yes, I understand. Nobody wants to be lonely. But you don't understand. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be hated. I love everybody. I understand that. You have a heart filled with love. A new heart, a heart of flesh. But that doesn't change the issue. The issue is you will be hated, and the world is going to put pressure on you to conform to what they want from you. Sufferings and the trouble, therefore, will come if you remain faithful. The pressure will be on you to conform. Now, I'm going to change the way this sermon has been going, and this will make you happy that it's changing. Notice that it says over here that we're going to share in His glory. This is Romans 8, 17. But even beyond that, in Romans 9, verse 23, it states that we are objects of His mercy. And it states here, He prepared us for glory. Do you see that? Romans 9, 23 states that we, the objects of His mercy, the saved people, are prepared in advance for glory. Jump with me to Matthew chapter 25. Are you ready to do some hallelujah, thank you, Jesus? Well, I hope so, before it's all over. We were just talking about that yesterday. We might be living in a cave before it's all over with. And I'll say this, I don't know what's going to happen in my future, but I absolutely refuse to compromise if it costs me my life to die on the spot. You know, oftentimes we won't ever be tested that severely. Oftentimes, kind of test that will prove to be more severe will be a lesser kind of test. Not to the extreme of your physical death. Maybe, it could cost you that raise, cost you that friendship, cost you this over there, that thing that you wanted, that boat, that vacation. You won't get favor with this person or that person if you do what you know you should do. There's not a person in here that won't go through tests like that. You know what that is? A test. Test, that's all. We have all taken written tests, maybe verbal test we were given when we went for our driver's license, but now we're going through a test. This test right here isn't one you take with paper and pencil. This is one that you prove that you pass or fail by your life, your behavior. Who passes this kind of test? Those that will endure. Does that mean some don't face pain? No. The Bible says everybody has pain. Everybody has a suffering. We're going to enter heaven one day. We're around brothers and sisters in the faith this morning. We're going to be around people one day. Not only are they going to be filled with excitement and joy that they themselves are in heaven, as we will be, but we're going to have a chance, I do believe, to reminisce. You know, we read of what Abraham went through, the kind of test when God wanted him to sacrifice his unique one-of-a-kind son, Isaac. We could talk about that in heaven. Well, God went ahead and told me to sacrifice my unique one-of-a-kind son. How about you? I know you are approved or you wouldn't be here in the kingdom. What kind of test did God subject you to? Well, listen to me. Sometimes the test will be absolutely to the brink of crushing. Does God allow that to occur? Absolutely He does. Paul said he's already been through times when he despaired of life, didn't even think that he'd survive. Clearly, in the book of Acts, the tail end of Acts, chapter 27, he was in a boat and a hurricane came along and it looked like everybody would die. They all thought they would die. Makes you wonder why God didn't speak to him sooner to tell him, hey, Paul, calm down, it's going to be all right. Now, God did speak to him. But why, after so many days, did God finally speak to him then? Why didn't God reassure him before? See, we are going to go through very hard days. If we're not killed in a car wreck, if we don't go some other way, if we're around another 30 or 40 years, if Jesus doesn't come back before that, you're going to see a lot of things get very bad and people are going to be very bold, very desirous of snuffing our light out for Jesus. And I'm telling you, you'll never, never stand. If you can't carry a peanut, how in the world can you carry a 10-pound bag of potatoes? Paul carried a 100-pound sack of potatoes right from the very beginning. Was he perplexed over what was happening? Here he is. He's trying to serve Almighty God. We were talking this morning. Imagine how perplexing it would be if next week we found out that anybody in here was put in prison. And yet God allowed Paul to be put in prison for years. What's he doing? Serving God. Do you understand? You've taken the most worthy cause that anybody could ever take. God. You're doing, maybe for the first time in your life, what's right. Jesus. You're living for Him. You're going all the way. You've pulled all stops. This is it, Jesus. All the way. I don't care what happens to me, Lord. It's You and me. And I mean, the problems start to rain down your way. Sometimes direct, sometimes indirect. You know, these other things happen. Flat tire here, car won't start over there. This problem, that, this. It doesn't even seem direct. They just tend to wear away at you. These are all satanic attacks, as far as I'm concerned, in one way or another. Maybe just to get us to think, where's the logic of all this? I'm serving God. How does this make sense in the light of, I'm a child of God, and this thing is going on? And that person over there, I know that person well. That person over there isn't going through these kinds of things. Don't you worry about that person over there. God got His eye on that person over there. Don't you worry about that. God knows about that person. I want you to know, your day's coming. You hear me? I said, your day's coming. You think you might have been happy in the past over something that someone might have gave you or did for you, thrilled your heart. I'm telling you, when we get in the kingdom, we're going to have a body that won't be susceptible to any kind of sickness. We're going to be able to leap and jump around and shout hallelujah. And you talk about loud, I mean, our voice won't ever get hoarse. I do believe in the kingdom of God, there's going to be such loud praises to God. I know I'm going to do it. If God doesn't specifically say that it can't be done, look out. You don't want to be around me if you don't like shouting, because I am going to shout. And I'm going to have a stronger voice then than I do right now. I am going to shout to God. And I'll tell you one thing, glory be to Jesus. Like Paul said, the sufferings of this present time, that is those of us that are Christians, obedient Christians, we're walking with that hot potato, the name of Jesus, our ticket to heaven. Yet on the other hand, it brings problems our way here. The sufferings of this present time, because of that name, can't be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Heaven's prepared for us. We're prepared for that place. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? It can't be compared. Can't compare it. Can't compare it. Is it possible as a Christian? Is it possible to get to the place in spiritual maturity or understanding of faith where you will not suffer because of the name? Never. I'm thinking of what the Lord said. You're blessed if you're hated, excluded, insulted, and your name rejected as evil. He says, when all men speak well of you, woe are you. That's how they spoke of the false prophets, the ear tickler of the Old Testament. A lot of false prophets and ear ticklers of the New Testament. They'll do anything to avoid suffering for the name. They're not going to stand for truth. They're not going to do it. They know if they do, trouble will come their way. It goes with the tick. It goes with the ground. Somebody said the Schwarzkopf. There are a lot of people killed before the war was over. A lot of people killed over there in the Persian Gulf. You know, people are going to blame you for that. He said, well, it goes with the ground. It goes with the territory, being a four-star general, being in charge of what's going on. If you bear that name, Jesus, your loved ones might get upset, moan and groan and grumble, complain. No peace in the house. Much less peace, because now you're trying to serve God. Well, the devil's trying to use that person to get you not to walk with God anymore. The test is on. Will you be stamped as Apollos, approved or not approved? Paul said those at Thessalonica, they were counted worthy of the kingdom. What was the evidence of it? They were enduring the trials and the persecutions, the troubles that came to them. I want to encourage you with truth. There's a day coming that words cannot describe the excitement and the grandeur of that time. I'm telling you, you're going to hear music. You might have heard some wonderful praise songs down here, but nothing like what you're going to hear up there. And it's not just the music that will make that place special. It's who's there, primarily Jesus being there. I'm telling you, that tree of life, streets of gold will be there, the river, the water of life. And it's not just who's there, it's who won't be there. You could live in a nice, peaceful environment and have some bad neighbors move in, and it kind of spoiled things for everybody in their little community. How one person can ruin things for other people. Won't be like that in heaven, because they won't get in. See, your name has to be in the book of life to get into heaven. They won't get in there. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Well, when you look around and try to figure out life, and where's the sense of all this? Our Father's the Almighty One. And people seem to be getting by in a better way than we are, and they're ungodly. They're not going through the test. You are. I am. Hang in there. You got it. You got the best thing. You got something better than $1 million and $1 billion and $1 trillion. Don't let it go. Don't turn loose of it. Regardless of what happens, the day finally came, maybe after 30 years or so, it was going to be over for Paul. His race was about to end. They didn't roll out a red carpet for him. They didn't give him a standing ovation. No. John the Baptist died a similar way. His head cut off. You and I in here, in this room this morning, might go the same way that John the Baptist and Paul died. We might get our head cut off. Boy, is it that important? If it wouldn't be so important, Jesus would have never left heaven to come down here to die for us. It's that important. You're going to die anyhow. One day your life is going to be over. You ever take a slow walk in a cemetery? All those people had ambitions just like you and me. All of them wanted to be accepted just like you and me. Many of them people yielded to those pressures, and they missed the presence of Almighty God in eternity because of that. God forbid that anybody here would do that. Well, the Bible says we're going to share in His glory if we share in His sufferings. If we share in His sufferings. Don't think that I've come to bring peace. No, but a sword. I've come to divide the family, is what Jesus said. If He's come to divide the family, you better know friends will get divided. Neighbors will get divided. Co-workers will get divided. Don't think I'm weird. They're already looking at me in a weird kind of a way. That's good. If it's because your light's shining, that's good.